Man, you may be seated. Get your Bibles turned to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Last week we talked about the new heaven and the new earth. Boy, if you missed that, I challenge you, go online, listen to it. It will help you. Tonight, April, your glasses fell on the floor there. They won't do you any good down there. Usually they're on top of her head and she can't find them. Are you embarrassed yet? Good. I've succeeded. But anyway, last week we talked about the new heaven, the new earth. We're winding down tonight, maybe, in my opinion, the greatest of all the lessons we've taught yet. Maybe, and I know it's by far the most important, but maybe the one that I'm excited about the most in all the things we've talked about. You're going to use your Bibles a lot. Okay, so get your thumb licked up and greased up and ready to go. Don't stick it in your nose because it sticks to the pages, but it just needs you getting ready here. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Notice, it said, what thou seest, write in a book. John was actually seeing the words he was supposed to write. He was seeing the events as well as the words, all right? And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice. How many times have you ever seen a voice? So John was seeing a voice. That voice was Jesus that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? That's Jesus. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Notice he wasn't bald. as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. By the way, according to Hebrews 4:12, that's the word of God. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now, we've talked a lot about heaven. I don't know how many weeks we've been studying this. I'm guessing probably 15, 18, 20 weeks. I honestly have no idea. I haven't counted the lessons. I haven't kept track as far as the number of them. But we've talked a lot about what heaven will be like. But let me say right here, and you've noticed, there's not a lot in the Bible about what heaven will be like. It's pretty sparse. God just kind of gives us little glimpses here and there. He doesn't just take a whole book of the Bible called heaven and talks about it for 50 pages in the Bible. He just gives you little glimpses of it here and there. And there's really not much said about heaven. We're so interested about what will be there and who will be there and who won't be there and what won't be there and what it looks like that we often fail to think about the most important part of heaven. Heaven is wonderful for many reasons. Heaven is wonderful because of what will not be there. There will be no night. There'll be no lies. There'll be nothing that works abomination. There'll be nothing that defileth. There'll be no sorcery. There'll be no whoremongers in heaven. There's going to be no murder, no idolatry. That's no Catholicism. No tears, no death, no pain, no sorrow, no unbelieving, no fear. None of this will be in heaven. We've talked about most of these things. Heaven's a wonderful place also because of its beauty. We've talked about the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, the foundations of the New Jerusalem with all the different stones, the walls of jasper, the river of life, the tree of life, and all the beauty of heaven that will be there. Heaven's also wonderful because of the friends and loved ones who will be there. I was, as I prepared this, I thought about my grandparents that'll be there. I have three grandparents that are there. I thought of my wife's grandparents. I preached her grandmother's funeral, and I met one of her grandfathers, and I met both of her grandmothers. Only one of her grandparents I did not meet. He died about 2 or 3 weeks after we got engaged. He just couldn't take it. he just couldn't take it, but I did not meet him. But we'll see them in heaven. I thought of Brother Hiles. Those of us that knew him, we'll get to see him in heaven. I thought of my dear friend, Ray Craig. I'll get to see him in heaven. I thought of Mrs. McCormick, and she'll be there. She's going to be happy when her hubby gets there, too. Let me tell you, she was worried about him not getting saved. And once he got saved, I bet you she's still shouting all over heaven. I thought of Ricky, Larry and Sherry's brother Ricky that I won to Christ and 5 weeks later went to heaven. I thought of my one of my heroes of the past, Brother Roloff. Brother Lester Roloff was a great preacher, and I knew Brother Roloff. I thought of my cousin who was killed in the plane crash with Brother Roloff. She'll be there. I thought of the people my wife and I have been a part of in the ministry for the last 3 decades who've gone to heaven. Good night. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and probably close to thousands and thousands of people there that we've worked with. I just got word this week. Mrs. Lopez told me either yesterday or today about a man that I knew and worked with closely that's got stage 4 cancer and not good. Got it in his brain and his lungs and his back and just all over and not doing well. I love the man. He and I fished together from time to time and worked hard together. And I mean worked very hard together. I thought of Mrs. Lopez's brother-in-law and how he'll be there. I thought of the Colonel, Brother Fred's brother, who's there. I thought of people that will be there that will make heaven a wonderful place. Heaven will be wonderful because of people in the Bible who will be there. Now think of this. I don't know if you think about it like I do, but we're going to get to meet Adam and Eve. Fellas, we're going to get to punch Adam right square in the nose. Ladies, you can do whatever you're going to do to Eve for causing you pain in childbirth. Amen. We're going to get to talk to Noah. Can you imagine talking to Noah? The only family on the face of the earth God spared. We want to complain about how bad a job Noah did with his kids after the flood, but he was the only one that found righteousness and grace in God's eyes to save the world and save the human population. He did something right. We're going to meet Abraham. We're going to meet Isaac and Jacob, Job. We're going to meet Ruth and Esther. We'll shake hands with Moses, maybe the best leader of all the Bible outside of Jesus Christ was Moses. I can't wait to talk to Moses someday. I really can't. I'll be honest with you. I can't wait to meet up with Elijah and Elisha. Those boys were fiery preachers. I know this. If you read the New Testament much, you'll find out that people thought Jesus was a resurrected Elijah. That means Jesus was not this sissy britches dude you see that the Catholics carry around on their neck. we'll talk with David and Solomon and Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego. And we'll talk with all of the disciples, the Apostle Paul and Timothy and you name it. We'll see them all. We'll meet them. We'll meet their families. We're going to spend eternity with them. And that's one thing that will make heaven Wonderful. But can I tell you something? Very little in the Bible is said about all of that. There's very little in all of the words in that book said about those things. Some of those things are only mentioned one time. Some of them are just assumed because of how things are worded in Scripture. So God only gives us little glimpses of these things in the Bible. What we'll talk about tonight, God spends the most amount of time talking in the Word of God about heaven. This is the most, as God opens up the curtain of heaven and gives us a glimpse, this is what he shows us more times than all the others put together. And I love it. Tonight, we're going to talk about the main attraction of heaven, Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to talk about the main event, the main attraction. Jesus in heaven. Heaven is all about Jesus. Heaven is all about God. It's not about us. I want you to notice something. It was there before man was created. So it's not about us. It's about him. And as God pulls back the curtain of heaven to give us glimpses, most always, you find Jesus referred to. And I want to help you with that tonight. I'm going to give you a bunch of things to look at. Philippians, write these down. We'll turn to others, but I'm going to give you a few to start to wet your whistle with. Philippians 1:23 says, to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul said, or it says of Paul speaking and in writing, it says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, but it's much better for me that I remain with you than be with Christ in heaven. To be with Christ, which is far better. Notice it doesn't say that to be with the streets of gold is far better.
Right.
It doesn't say to be where there's no night is far better, where there's no pain or sorrow or sickness or death. It says to be with Christ is far better.
Yes.
Jesus is far better than anything that is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the
Lord.
It doesn't say that you'll be present in the golden streets. It says that you'll be in the presence of the Lord. It doesn't talk about being in the presence of no fear. It says that you'll be in the presence of the Lord. Doesn't say that you'll be in the presence of eternal bliss and happiness or walls of jasper. It says that you'll be in the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 7, verse 56, in reference to Stephen being stoned and dying, it says that Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. What did he see? He didn't see streets of gold or gates of pearl. And he didn't see St. Peter outside the gate with the checkoff list. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He didn't talk about things of heaven. He talked about the main event. He saw Jesus.
Yes, sir.
1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Doesn't say, so shall we ever be on streets of gold and with the river of life and the tree of life.
That's right.
Doesn't say, so shall we ever be where there's no witchcraft or idolatry or anything like that. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want you to notice the main event of heaven is the Lord.
That's right.
It's Jesus.
Yes, sir.
We get so wrapped up in the things. We get so wrapped up in the, well, what's going to be there? What will we look like? Will angels have wings? No. Sorry, Mung. She hates it every time I say that. I found out she collected little figurine angels. I ruined her collection. I did. I didn't mean to, but I ruined it for her. Can I tell you something? The main event is Jesus.
Amen.
It's not the river of life. It's not the streets of gold. It's none of those things. It is Jesus. Now, that's all introduction. Are you ready? Can you tell I'm wound up? I am about ready to come unscrewed, all right? Now, the first thing we see when we get to heaven is going to be Jesus. Take the Bible, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I want you to notice, first thing we see when we get to heaven, look at Revelation chapter 4. After this, verse 1, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Wonder who sits on the throne. Notice the first thing we see after the rapture, or when we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus on the throne.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's what the Bible says. Look at verse number 10. Same chapter. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. Same throne. Worship him that liveth forever and ever. Cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Who's sitting on the throne?
Jesus.
And that's who we'll see first. Says, immediately I heard a voice as a trumpet, and when we got there, we were seeing him seated at the throne. If he can come back in a twinkling of an eye, guess what? He can make it back on the throne in a twinkling of an eye, too.
Amen.
They say a twinkling of an eye is 1/100th of a second. So in 2/100ths of a second, God can leave, come to earth, get us, and be back and seated on the throne. That's pretty quick. That means he could make that trip 50 times in a second. There and back. I would say, in just that quick, he's there and back. You can't hardly process anything that fast. Your mind isn't able even to comprehend that it happened so fast. Can I tell you something? The first thing we see when we get there is Jesus. The first thing you'll see when you get to heaven is Jesus. That throne is where we have what we call the judgment seat of Christ. What throne is it? God's throne. You can say what you want. It's at least a two-seat throne. Notice, there's the throne of God, and Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. I personally believe there's a third seat on the other side, and that's the Holy Ghost. It's absent right now because the Holy Spirit indwells every believer here on earth. But I believe after the rapture and after everything's over, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, will sit on the throne and rule and reign for eternity forever together. The Holy Spirit's not going to die just because of the rapture. He's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Everybody doing okay? Okay, not preaching bad doctrine, I promise you. Now, that was my opinion with that it was a three-seat throne. All right, but I know that it's got at least two seats. There's places in Scripture where it talks about I and my Father's throne as one. Hello. So it's there. Now, look at verse 11 again. Do you know what we're going to sing soon as we get to heaven? Verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Whew. We're going to bust out in song when we get to heaven about how great Jesus is. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure, they are and were created. I hate to tell you, not all of us sing well. No comments. But I promise you one thing. You better get practiced up because you're going to do a lot of it in heaven. You're going to do a lot of it. You might as well get ready and do it. Say, well, I don't sing well, so I'm not going to sing. That's a condition of the heart. All right? All right. I got to hurry. Because I got more points than we've got time. Number two, we will see Jesus open the books of all he purchased. Look at Revelation chapter 5. I'm going to read very quickly. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Who sits on the throne? A book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah?
Jesus.
Hello. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb. Notice it's capitalized. Who is the Lamb of God? As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, that are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of the saints. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the only one to open this book. What is that book? Personally, I believe it's the title deed to all of eternity. It is the title deed of heaven, of earth, and of our bodies, and of eternity. It is the sum total, it is the judgment book that he paid for at Calvary. It's been sealed with seven seals because he paid the price. He's the only one worthy to open it. If you went to the bank and asked to go to the place where they got all the safe deposit boxes, you got to have a card saying that you have something in there. Then you have to go through the security to get through it, because you have to prove you have something in there. And if you don't have the right card, even though you have the right key, let's say Brother Lopez had a key and he gave me the key and said, "Can you stop by the bank and get it?" Even though I have the key, I can't, I'm not worthy to get in there. My name's not on it. Guess what? Nobody's name's on that book but the Lamb of God, because he's the only one that paid the price to get it.
Yes, sir.
He's the only one that can open that title deed for all of us. He was the only one worthy to open it. By the way, our eternity was sealed by the opening of this book. Look at verse number 9. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." Notice something, it's not talking about the angels. This is talking about saints. Angels cannot be redeemed.
Right.
These are the people that are in heaven. That's why I personally believe it's the title deed for our salvation, because the angels were not redeemed. Man was redeemed. And it talks about in verse 10 there, verse 9, that they sang the song, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us unto God by the blood out of every kindred." That means people from every walk of life who have ever gotten saved will be there, and we were redeemed by the same blood, by that same book. That's why he is the only one worthy to open that book. I gotta hurry. Number next. Jesus opens the seals to begin the judgments of the tribulation. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verse number 1. "And I saw when the Lamb," capital L, who's the capital L Lamb?
Jesus.
"And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" Notice something. Jesus will open the seals that begin the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, something called the Great Tribulation. This is when the judgment of God falls for 36 months on the face of the earth. Jesus is the one that opens the seals to start this. Can you imagine having to open up the book of whoop? I mean, he's going to whoop up on the earth. Book of judgment. Look at chapter 7, verse number 9. "After this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and the Lamb." Wow. These are the people that were saved out of the tribulation by the 144,000 Jews. 12,000 from each tribe. There'll be 144,000 soul winners that go over the whole face of the earth during that first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And they will be killed. They will be martyred. And as these people arrive in heaven, notice it says of all kindred and nation and people. In all tongues. These 144,000, by the way, this is where the Jehovah's Witnesses say there's only 144,000 in heaven. And that 144,000 is on earth, and they're soul winners that get saved after the rapture. And these 144,000 soul winners go all over the face of the earth, winning people to Christ during the beginning of the tribulation. And because the people they win to Christ hear enough of the truth, they don't take the mark of the beast, and the Antichrist and his followers kill everyone who does not take the mark.
That's right.
That's who's arriving here in Revelation chapter 7. And these are the newcomers to heaven. These are the new converts. Can I tell you something? Notice something with this. And cried, verse 10, with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne of the Lamb." They were shouting. Why is it that new converts are more likely to shout than people that have been saved a long time? I don't get it. I've been saved for an awfully long time. I've been saved for 45 years. It'll be 45 years here in a couple weeks. Can I tell you something? I'm not going to let some new convert outshout me. I know what I got more than they know what they got.
Yes, sir.
Why is it, though, that we want to calm everybody down? Well, I hate to tell you something. There's going to be a heap of shouting in heaven.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I had an old preacher friend. I was called to preach under. His name was Brother Carlos Demarest. Worked for Bearing Precious Seed. We were on our way to Mexico one day. Brother Carlos Demarest could scare the devil. Brother Demarest was a loud, wild, crazy. I think he was a former Pentecostal, now Baptist. I called him a Bapticostal preacher. Brother Carlos, at all of a sudden, 2 o'clock in the morning, he'd be driving an old bus with all of us on there, everybody slobbering on each other, snoring. And you'd hear Brother Carlos, "Well, glory to God. What's going on?" He'd say, "Brother Rick, get up here. Get up here." One of the men with him would get up there. No lie. We're going down the highway, 70 miles an hour. Carlos would stand up at the steering wheel, that old Greyhound bus. Brother Rick would climb up on the back of the seat and slide down in the seat. He'd let go of the wheel and walk away. And the other guy took over driving. He'd flip the lights on. He'd say, "Lord gave me a sermon. I got to preach it." He'd wake everybody up at 2 o'clock in the morning just to preach to them. The guy was crazy. He was nuts. Brother Carlos would shout. And I mean, that was back in the days before you had cell phones, and there was such thing called long distance. Bus breakdown. We were stuck at a truck stop. Nobody had enough money on them, coins, to make a phone call. So he pushed zero to get the operator. I stand with him, cross my heart, and hope Brother Joe dies. I stand there. He said, "Ma'am, I'm Baptist preacher. My name's Carlos Demers." Told him where he lived. He said, "We're broke down with a group of teenagers going to Mexico to do God's work, preach the gospel." And he started talking to her. He ends up winning her to Christ and says, "Now, I need you to put the call through, and I don't have the money for it." She did. Never saw anybody like that man. Carlos had been saved a long time. Can I tell you something? His favorite statement, "Hey, Bush, you still got the victory?" "Yes, sir." He said, "Doesn't sound like it." "Yes, sir." "Yes, all right, that's better." "You still got the victory?" "Man, I got the victory, amen." That's what heaven's going to be like. By the way, Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, watch this. "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Did you know that Jesus is going to take care of feeding us in heaven?
Amen.
Man, that's going to be fun. How'd you like to go to Jesus' restaurant? He's going to take care of feeding us, He's going to wipe our tears from our eyes.
Whew, man, that's what heaven is going to be like. Next, I got to hurry. Whew, I got 12 minutes. And I still have one, two, three. 3 points in a poem. Revelation chapter 8, look at verse number 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire at the altar, cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. And an earthquake. Now, Jesus will be the high priest for eternity. This is Jesus as the high priest, as the things are laid on the altar of incense. By the way, it's Jesus the high priest, not El Papa the Pope.
Right.
When he's got his little dude jigger full of smoke and incense and he's walking by, he's saying to you, I'm Jesus and I'm the high priest. I can take care of the things. I stand in the place of God. That's a lot of arrogance. Folks, this man of God doesn't stand in the place of God for you. You will face him and he will be your high priest. The Pope can't speak ex cathedra in the place of God. You can only preach in the place of God when you use the word of God.
Amen.
He can't absolve your sins, only Jesus can. And here in Revelation 8, he's acting as our high priest. The boldness or the bloodless salvation is filth and garbage. Notice it talks about the blood. And I don't have time. I'm going to mention some names here. So go ahead and get your ire up. Charles Stanley, John MacArthur, Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers, Chucky Swindoll, Billy Graham, Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, Warren Wiersbe, and others are wrong on the blood.
Yes, sir.
When you're wrong on the blood, you're wrong on salvation.
Right.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. I don't care how suave they sound, Chucky Swindoll is wrong on the blood.
Yes,
he's no better than John MacArthur. I don't care if he led the Southern Baptist Convention. Same thing with Charles Stanley. John MacArthur said, the blood of Jesus isn't important, it's the death of Jesus. The blood trickled to the foot of the cross. He's a heretic.
Yes, sir.
Billy Graham said, I'm not sure there is such a place called hell. Now, Billy Graham started right. Billy Graham, in an effort to make money and gain popularity, changed his doctrine and knelt before the Pope and kissed his toe. As Brother Hiles would say, if I got close enough to that thing's toe, I'd bite it off. Amen. Now, wait a minute. The salvation is by the blood. Look at Revelation chapter 15. I think this is where I want to go. Hold on. Yes. And they sing this, verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. What is that song? Watch this. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, glorify thy name. For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. And after this I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke for the glory of God from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues, the seven angels were fulfilled. Can I tell you something? He is our high priest. That's him acting as our high priest. And when you mess with the blood, you're messing with the high priest.
Yes.
The high priest's sole duty once a year was to enter into the Holy of Holies and present the blood on the mercy seat for the redemption of the people for another year, symbolizing Jesus putting his blood on the mercy seat in heaven.
When you take the blood away, you take the you take Jesus away. It is a bloody salvation. I've got to hurry. Man, I've got so much I want to say, but I'll save it. Jesus will cast the devil out of heaven. Are you ready to shout? Somebody say amen. Revelation chapter 12. I'm about to shout and take a lap here. Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse number 7. And there was, what's the next word?
War
in heaven. Look at me. It doesn't mean just a little skirmish.
Amen.
Well, I think we ought to have peace. Well, you don't get peace without fighting.
Amen.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. That's the devil and the demons against Michael and Gabriel and their angels. All of the angels are at war in heaven. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Look at me. It's the blood of the Lamb that's going to cast him out of heaven.
Amen.
Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Move over there. No, you stay there, Father. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. The mercy seat is there. Jesus put his own blood on the mercy seat. Come here, devil. You look like him. You got red on. And as he accuses Evan Barnes to the Father, Jesus says, see that right there, Father? That's my blood. It's covered. Brother Barnes got saved. It's under the blood. And he says to him, it's not there. He's not the false accuser, he's the accuser. But the day's coming when the accusations are going to stop and Jesus is going to take him and cast his ever-loving backside out of heaven forever and ever.
Amen.
And he's no longer going to be able to accuse us to the Father. Isn't that going to be a happy day?
Amen.
Glory to God. Notice the angels can't do it. The archangels can't do it. The saints can't do it. The creatures of heaven can't do it. Only Jesus can cast him out. And that's because he had the blood of the Lamb. He is the blood of the Lamb. And I got to hurry. Number next. Jesus is the bridegroom in heaven. And for the church. Look at Revelation chapter 19. I could have taken two nights on this one, but I didn't. Didn't think I could take two nights of this. Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read very quickly. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Notice, every time we see heaven, it's about Jesus. He's the main attraction. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. By the way, he's in referencing to denominationalism in the Catholic Church. And again, they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the four and twenty elders, the four beasts fell down and worshiped God, sat on the throne saying, Amen and Alleluia. And the voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants and ye that fear him, small and great. I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude and as a voice of many waters and a voice of many thunderings saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's the Hallelujah chorus, just so you know. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the who? And he said unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he that saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Notice, this is the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's those of us who have been saved, that are raptured out. We then become, quote unquote, a church in heaven. It is not the rapture of the church, it's the rapture of the saved. The church is not raptured. Church is a called out assembly. It's not just an assembly. And everybody doesn't make up the church. You have what they call the universal church or the invisible church. That every person who gets saved is a member of this invisible universal church. I hate to tell you something. That started in the 300s with the Catholic Church. Amen. The word Catholic means universal. All denominationalism goes back to Catholicism. You can't be called out in assembling in more than one place at one time. My son is at Grace Baptist Church in Miami, Florida right now, but guess what? He's part of his church. We're part of our church. We're not part of the same church.
Right.
No more than you being, you putting your car in your garage tonight doesn't make it your neighbor's car. It's in your garage. Can't be in both places at once. A church doesn't get raptured. Saints get raptured. Christians get raptured. Once we're all snatched out and pulled out together, and we're in one place together, that is when we become the marriage part of the Lamb, and we are the bride of Christ. We're not the bride yet. We're betrothed, but we're not the bride. We're waiting for the bridegroom to come get us. Everybody understand that? That's what that's in reference to. Man, I gotta hurry. I gotta quit. I want you to go to one last place, Revelation chapter 22. Somebody shoot that clock. Revelation chapter 22. I want you to look at the last two verses of the Bible with me. Now watch this. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I want you to notice the last thing we see in the Bible about heaven is Jesus. And he said, Even so, come quickly. I was complaining to my wife a little while ago. The arthritis has been hurting today a little extra for some reason. She said, What are you going to do when you get old? I said, I'm already there. She said, No, money, get real old. I said, Like Brother Fred? I said, I'm hoping the rapture comes first. I'd rather go by the Undertaker than the Undertaker any day.
Amen.
Good night. Can I tell you something? Anytime you see in the Bible God talking about heaven, usually the first glimpse of it is Jesus. The main attraction isn't all the things. It's not all the prettiness and the beauty, and it's not all of the streets of gold, gates of pearl. It's not the 144 or the 1,500 mile square city of the New Jerusalem, and it's not the new heaven and the new earth. It's not all of the things of heaven, the water of life and the river of life and the tree of life. It's not the tree that bears 12 manner of fruit 12 months a year. It's not all of the angels. It's not all the creatures of heaven and the horses and all the different things that'll be there from the true tabernacle that'll be in the heaven. The main attraction to everything will be Jesus.
Amen.
He will be the central figure of all of it. He's the reason that we will be there. He is the main event. And by the way, that's why he will be the light that lights us for eternity. Because he is the one, just like the sun, S-U-N, is the center of the universe now. The S-O-N will be the center of the universe then.
That's good.
I have a preacher friend up in Maine, Brother Rick Walters. Just about every week, he wishes me on Sunday morning a happy Sunday. S-O-N-D-A-Y. I love that. Happy Sunday, preacher. Oh, I love that. Jesus is the main event of heaven. God pulls the curtain back every once in a while to give us a glimpse. But he pulls it back most when he gets to show us Jesus. And we'll get to see him.
Amen.
Good night. Those of us that know people there, they have seen him. They've talked to him. They've been with him. They're meeting with him. They're talking and walking and they're fellowshipping with Jesus Christ himself. Whew. That's important stuff. That's what's going to make heaven heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus is the main event in heaven. He's the purpose of it all. He is the central figure of everything mentioned in Scripture. All of the other things, oh, they're just very brief glimpses. But when you get the biggest glimpse of heaven, hey, how do you know somebody's died and went to heaven and came back? They'll talk about Jesus, not the things. They won't talk about the temperature. They won't talk about lights. They'll talk about seeing Jesus.